Well, thank you for joining us for this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. Horticulturalist, garden designer, and rosarian Deborah Kaiser joins us today to talk about her work at the Virginia Clemens Rose Garden. Stay with us. The Rose Chat Podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Rose Chat Radio is a proud media sponsor of the American Rose Society's Fall National Convention, taking place September 10th to the 13th in Syracuse, New York. Michael Marriott, Alon Mayon, Will Radler, and Thomas Prohl will be speaking, and the country's preeminent rose exhibitors will compete for top honors. There's something for all lovers of roses at the ARS Fall National Convention. Register soon at newyorkroses.org. Your friends at Rose Chat Radio will love to see you there.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Deborah, welcome to Rose Chat.
Thank you, Teresa. Nice to be here, and welcome, Chris.
We're excited to have you. Now, Deborah, you're a rose specialist. How does one become a rose specialist?
I think with a little bit of luck, actually. No, actually, I was a hobby rose gardener for many years, probably about 24 years before I got the job as the city rose specialist. And I say with a little luck because it had to do with actually budget cuts at a job that I had at the time, which I thought was not good luck, but it turned out to be my good fortune to end up as a rose gardener for the city. And I really truly love what I do.
Isn't it often that way? We don't know that, you know, something we think is going to be horrible or not turns out to be the biggest blessings.
Yeah, and I definitely believe in destiny.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, this was destiny.
Now, as a rose specialist, you get to spend your days in some really beautiful places. So tell us about those places.
My office is the Virginia Clemens Rose Garden in St. Cloud, Minnesota. It's the prettiest office in all of St. Cloud, for sure. Oh, and it's part of actually two gardens, Munsinger and Clemens Gardens. And we're located along the east side of the Mississippi River in St. Cloud, which is in central Minnesota, the heart of central Minnesota, 90 miles northwest of the Twin Cities. Mm. And the description of St. Cloud is a pretty metro area. We've got a lot of what the Twin Cities offers with more of a small town feel. We are kind of in the heart of granite country. Mm. Which the granite from St. Cloud ends up all over the world. And so it's kind of a pretty area here. And as far as Munsinger and Clemens Gardens goes, I'm in what's part of Clemens Gardens, which is the upper part of the gardens, the sunny gardens. Munsinger is kind of the cottage-style garden that lays along right along the riverbank. Mm-hmm. And is more treed and sheltered from the sun a little bit. And I can give you a little history of the gardens if you'd like.
Oh, we'd love that. Go right ahead.
Okay. Our garden started in the 1880s. It was a sawmill along the river. And later on, that was sold to the city of St. Cloud in the early 1900s as a... And it became Riverside Park, which was kind of a green park along the river. And then we had a garden superintendent of gardens called Joe Munsinger. And he decided that during the 1930s, that he would take advantage of the Works Progress Administration's, the WPA project that was going on during the Depression years. and used the Civilian Conservation Corps to help develop the gardens into more of a flower park. He loved flowers, and he made a lot of our green park and lawn that's like 21 acres. He made it flower beds, and they used natural rock from along the river. They used natural granite for walls and for fountains, and our great lily pond that we have in Munsinger. And a lot of it is still the same historic as it was back in the 1930s when it was developed, and very beautiful along Munsinger. Very nice, easy cottage garden style down there. Very pretty. And then later on in the late 80s, the trees were getting quite large down in Munsinger, and it was getting more and more shady down there. It originally had been a sunny park when it was first developed down along the river. But then it was getting too shady in the early 1990s. So the director at the time, the garden supervisor, David Morheim, decided that he wanted to plant some flowers. And so up above, there was more city park land, and it's kind of a soccer field for kids and hockey arena in the winter kind of thing up on the hill. So he decided he'd ask the city park department if he could plant some flower gardens up there, since it was getting hard to plant sunny annuals down in the Munsinger part of the gardens at the time. So he did that, and later on there was a piece of land that was adjacent to the rest of the city park up on the hill in Clemens area, what's now Clemens Gardens. Mm-hmm. And it was a corner lot that went for sale, and there was speculation that it might become a convenience store gas station right there next to all the city park property and across the street from our now donor, the Clemens family's home. And Mr. Clemens got wind of that, and he decided to buy up the piece of land and donate it to the city for park, rather than have this gas station on the corner of the park there.
Good for him.
And then the local Rose Society ladies, and we have the Granite City Rose Society in town here, and the local Rose Society ladies at the time decided they would go ask Mr. Clemens if they could have some money for a donation to buy some roses so they could plant some roses on that corner lot across from his house. And they went over and asked him, and he not only gave them money for the roses, he decided to fund the whole park, the whole Virginia Clemens Rose Garden, and give them money for 1,100 roses and the rose gardener position and all the fountains, ironwork, benches, urns, the whole works. And that started the Virginia Clemens Rose Garden, which was the first part of Clemens Gardens.
Now, and I'm sure that there's going to be Rose Societies all over the country looking for someone just like him.
Him, yes. That was a good idea. But anyway, his wife had MS for over 40 years, and her middle name was Rose, and she loved flowers and roses. And so his kindness was an act of love for his wife, and also generosity and kindness for the public, doing something nice for the community with the Clemens Gardens. And he later on sent the garden supervisor over to England to study the formal gardens in England. And they later built the rest area garden, the formal garden, the White Garden, which is modeled after the White Garden in Sissinghurst. And we have a perennial garden, which has perennial plants that are all native and will grow hardy to Minnesota. And we have a trellage garden up on the hill with a high dome on it and more fountain. We have several fountains. We have the highest fountain there is, probably in the northern part of the United States, is in our rest area garden. And his generosity kept going throughout the 90s. It kept expanding until what it is today now. And there's still a foundation by the Clemens family that funds Clemens Gardens. But we're also a St. Cloud City Park, so We also have public tax dollars and city entertainment tax, and we really rely on our Munsinger Clemens Botanical Society and membership with that and other donors to help us out. And so,
we've heard so
really nice gardens.
Yeah. We've heard so many rose stories through the years, and so many of them have a romantic thread through them. And so this one is no different. We have someone who, out of love for his wife, gets excited about putting in a rose garden. Now, did you say that there was 1,100 roses that they...
It started with 1,100 roses, and now throughout Clemens Gardens, with the majority of them being in the Virginia Clemens Rose Garden. We have about 1,300 in the Virginia Clemens Rose Garden, and then we have two trial rose gardens, one for tender roses and one for hardy roses, and then we have roses throughout the rest of Clemens Garden. So we have close to 2,000 roses now in our gardens.
If our listeners know anything about St. Paul, they know that it gets cold there. So, and there are many roses that have issues with cold. So how do you take care of all these roses in that deep, dark winter?
Well, we used to do the Minnesota tip at work. And at home, I tried the Minnesota tip at home. But then I chose to actually bury my home roses in a pit for a while until my kids left home and I didn't have the extra labor help. So then I heard about these insulated construction blankets that some of the Twin Cities Rose Club members were using and decided to try those at home. And in about 2003, I think I started at home using them. And in 2008, I finally convinced my boss, the supervisor of the gardens at the time, that maybe we should try them at the gardens instead of the Minnesota tip, since it was very labor intensive to have and very costly for our budget to keep our seasonal staff on way into late October to do the Minnesota tip, because it took all of our staff to do it with all the roses that we had to cover. So now we actually start the process about mid-October. We start cutting back our roses. And I know, you know, you don't like to prune roses in the fall, but we only cut back enough so that we can actually get the insulated construction blankets over them and get them tight. And so then we mulch them real heavily with our finished compost, so it looks like nice, rich black soil we're putting over them. We cover the crown, we cover the area, so we really bury the rose, each rose individually with a lot of soil. And then we kind of wait for our temps to start going down to being consistently in the low 30s, and then we pull these insulated construction blankets over that are actually what the contractors sometimes call cement blankets. They use them when they cure cement during the winter, and they have an R value of about 7.5. They look like two tarps sewn together with a bat of insulation in the middle. It's kind of, they're thick and puffy, and we brick them down really tight, really close together so no wind gets underneath them. We put bait under there so the mice and voles don't chew up our roses all kinds of things like that. And then we hope for snow. And last year, Mother Nature teased us. They gave it on the day before Veterans Day. We got this blizzard with 13.5 inches of snow. And about a week or so later, it melted off and got warm. And all our snow was gone. And then it got really, really cold. And that's when we lost the majority of the roses that we lost last winter. I know it was because they weren't dormant enough yet, and we didn't have the snow for protection. And then we never did get any snow. We would get like a little bit, and it would melt. We had the freeze and thaw all last winter, which was really bad for not only our roses, but our perennials too. Saw a lot of losses. So this year, whether I like it or not, I'm praying for lots of snow because it really does make a difference. We found out what kind of a difference it makes in insulation factor having it. having the snow or not having the snow. Because either way, we seem to get the cold winters, so we might as well have the snow for insulation.
Right.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned voles and moles and those kinds of things, and we deal with those here. But I'm thinking with all of these roses, what is your plan for taking care of the pests that I'm sure come to love on them too? Is this a spray garden or a no-spray garden, or how do you
From 2005 to 2010, we were in AARS trial rose garden and also a public display garden. And during that time, we did spray, except I think what happened is towards the end of that, they decided that we wouldn't spray the shrub roses. And then they changed that to not spraying anything, I think, in the last year or so. And so we kind of got out of spraying during that time, too, because it's really hard for us. We have like over 200,000 visitors and busloads of visitors come every day. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to find a time that you can even spray where there isn't somebody from the public around. Plus the fact that we're right on top of the Mississippi River, and it's just not good. You know, it's not good to be putting that down into our river and our soils that close to the river. So over the years, we've gotten out of spraying unless we really, really have to. And with all the rain, I've been having some problems with spider mites and some aphids. And so I've done a little spraying of like bonitate and some miticide, try to take care of that. And if black spot gets really out of control, we will spray for black spot. And I usually use Manzate and Banamax for that. But we try to practice good IPM. So I watch for insects and make sure they are pests and kind of do the identification and that kind of thing before I treat, so I know what I'm treating. And the same with the disease. And basically, we maintain clean beds. We use mulch. We use wild rice hulls, which is kind of different from mulch. We get a lot of people ask about that and where we get it. And basically, Minnesota has a lot of wild rice processing plants up north, and that's where our wild rice hull mulch comes from. And we're probably the only rose garden in the state of Minnesota that's using them that I know of, and maybe in the country. But it works really good for us because they're very neutral, so they don't change the pH of our soil or the acidity or anything that way. So we try to keep clean mulch. You know, every year in the fall we remove it, and then we put on fresh every year, and we pick up fallen leaves. My volunteers, when they deadhead, they pick off black spot leaves. They pick up fallen leaves and clean up the beds. We have soaker hoses that we use for watering, so we don't splash the roses. We water early in the mornings. So we try to do everything possible to prevent black spot. And with purchasing roses, I've really been going a lot more towards the disease-resistant roses, and I'm really glad that the rose industry is responding to the needs out there and coming across with a lot more disease-resistant roses and a lot more hardy roses, too, because there's nothing more that I want for a rose in Minnesota in Zone 4 than a disease-resistant hardy rose with fragrance, because everybody asks about the fragrant roses at the gardens. So.
They do.
Which is, it's a hard combination to come by, but we've been having some really nice roses donated to us by the folks at Weeks Roses and Star Roses and Gord Roses. And a lot of nice roses coming out of the House of Milan in France and Court. So, we really appreciate our donors. And I just want to thank the donors of the roses and other products, because a public garden always is on a tight budget. So those donations are really appreciated. And
Deborah, I'm wondering, you're up nose to rose. To so many roses. What are some of the roses that caught your eye this year that were extra special?
Well, we're trying, we got some roses out of Chandler Roses in Texas this year because they had some of the Cords roses. They had Beverly, which Beverly and Wedding Bell, some really nice roses that I also had the opportunity to purchase a few for at home too. So I'm really appreciating the Quartz roses and the beauty and the fragrance that goes with them and the clean foliage. Mm-hmm. I'm really pleased with how disease resistant they are and how much they bloom. So, yeah.
Now you mentioned Beverly, mm-hmm. and that was one of the Biltmore Rose Trials winners a couple of years ago. And that rose, Chris has it down in Alabama, does extremely well. I have it in Zone 5B, does extremely well, and you're telling me it does well there. That's a lot
it
of
does.
Country. I mean, that's a lot of different zones, and that rose is absolutely stunning and clean and fragrant.
Mm-hmm. I want to see how it winters under our blankets this year, because this will be the first year that we've had it so for wintering, but it sure is performing well as far as growth and blooming in the garden, so it's been very nice.
You'll have to let us know how it does under its blanket.
I will. And then we've got some donations from Star Roses this year, a couple new ones there that are really impressing me so far with their clean foliage and their blooming and growth and just how pretty they are, too. We got Tahitian Treasure, mm-hmm. which is actually kind of a tall brand of flora rose. Looking at my notes here. It's a Radler rose, a salmon mm-hmm. pink. And it's been having really clean foliage when some of the neighboring roses that we have next to it are not doing quite as well with the black spot, but Tahitian Treasure is doing great. We also got Fired Up, which is a really pretty floribunda with the yellow and orange striping in it. And it is a good performer, blooms a lot too, and also clean foliage.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Mercury Rising, which is one of the Melon roses from Star. And that, I think, looks a little bit like Gemini to me. I like the coloring
Ooh.
Of it, and it's a nice tall hybrid tea. I was really impressed with all the height on all of these Star Roses that we got, mm-hmm. the Mercury Rising, Tahitian Treasure, and the Fired Up. All have nice long stems on them, and really nice. And then we got Delish, and I know that was a big winner. I saw it in the ARS magazine, mm-hmm. and has a nice citrus fragrance and really pretty blooms, the dark pink blooms, so nice hybrid tea. And then we've been trying the Iconic Lychee Lemonade and the Iconic Lemonade roses from Star Roses they've donated to us. And those are really nice little border roses, little shrubs with the,
mm-hmm.
They have the pretty white outside, or some have light yellow, but they always have the blotchy mm-hmm. kind of eye in the center, and so those are really pretty and eye-catching, and I get a lot of comments. I put out signs with the names of the roses, and so I hear the people walking by commenting on not only the interesting names that the roses have, but also, you know, which roses they like, and
mm-hmm.
you get a lot of families through, and they'll always, the parents will ask the kids, well, what's your favorite rose, and the kids like to go around and read the names and pick out their favorite roses. So,
mm-hmm.
so while I'm working in the gardens, I hear a lot of nice comments about the roses.
Oh, people love roses. That's for sure.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well,
a couple of shrubs that we got that I want to mention quickly are Peachy Keen, the
mm-hmm.
new one from Bill Radler.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also got an Ice Cap Floribunda. And both of them are just like blooming constantly, just blooming machines. So they're really pretty, you know, and they're doing really well, growing fast in our gardens. And so I know the Peachy Keen, we were told that should be winter hardy for us. So I'm hoping the Ice Cap is too. We'll give it a little protection too, some extra mulch, and
mm-hmm.
hopefully they'll come through nice.
As I'm looking out my window, I'm looking at Ice Cap. I have that in my garden, and it has just been beautiful. Of course, this is the first year for it, and it has just been beautiful all summer. And
that's the way ours is, too. Since the time we put it in, it just took off and started growing. It was blooming when we put it in because we get them early in March, and we pot them up and grow them in our glass greenhouse for a couple months before we put the roses out, so they have a head start when they go in our gardens. And That rose just took off. It's really a beautiful rose.
Deborah, that reminds me. I'm wondering, when is your first big flush? You know, when's the first big beautiful flush in the garden in the spring?
This year, our first flush was right around the 4th of July, and we've been seeing that with our blankets. That our first flush, you know, it depends on how warm it, you know, how early it gets warm in the spring, but it's ranged anywhere from about the middle of June to about the first part of July,
mm-hmm.
which it's a little bit earlier than it was when we did the Minnesota tip. A lot of times when we take the blankets off in the springtime, you know, as soon as it's warm enough consistently at night that we can have the blankets off and they won't freeze, when we take off the blankets, we see a lot of green growth started underneath there, and
mm-hmm.
like our miniature roses usually bloom within a few weeks of the coverings coming off.
Wow.
So we get a lot earlier flush that way.
It's like they just can't wait to bloom.
Oh, yeah. It is like they can't wait to bloom. And it's amazing how much green growth and sprouts are going underneath those blankets. But, you know, they've got all that compost. They've been kind of getting all the nutrients out of the compost all winter, and it's nice and warm, toasty warm under there. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they are ready to go when the blankets come off. And we have very minimal pruning at that time of year because we've cut them back, so we just do a little cleanup pruning, you know, for any
mm-hmm.
dead canes, and that we just let them take off and start watering. And this year we had lots of rain when we needed it, and got the fertilizer on, and it's been a good year. And the rain has been kind of the right amount this year. Last year we had a lot of heavy rain, and we had some problems with heavy soil because we do tend to have a lot of clay in our soil up here, even though we've been adding a lot of amendments, a lot of compost, trying to make it lighter. But if we have too much rain, then it tends to get real heavy. But this year the rain has kind of been timed perfectly. It has been kind of heavy when we get it, but it's been great for the roses.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just to get through black spot season, because now that we're cool and we're still kind of wet and humid, it's
mm-hmm.
prime time for black spot. And
yeah, we're beginning
hopefully
to see that.
They're doing real well. We've got lots of blooms this year, a lot of new roses in because we lost a lot of roses over the winter, but I'm excited to, you know, for the new roses and see how they do through the winter and next year, because the last 3 years have been really bad winters, so we've been putting in a few new roses every year, and this year I can see how the ones that were put in the year before, the last 2 years, are doing, and you can just see how they've taken off and the growth every year, and so it's kind of fun to see the new roses perform, and
I know.
I enjoy that part of being a rose gardener, being able to design and choose what's going into the garden. So, and I'm excited for the new roses coming out next year. I got a little peek at what Weeks has got coming out next year, and know what we're getting for next year's garden. So we got to hit some trial roses this year from Weeks. We got Miss Congeniality, really pretty
mm-hmm.
pink and white, and we got Smokin' Hot, and Pretty Lady Rose.
Ooh,
so
we're growing that one.
Yeah, very nice roses. And last year we got Anna's Promise from them, and Anna's Promise is doing really well this year after wintering through. And I'm just excited for all of them to get into their second and third years of growing in our gardens and get a little more height, because They don't get a lot of height the first year, but they sure put out the blooms. We have a lot of phosphorus in our soil, so they tend to bloom even if they're short in our soil. Don't have to give them much bloom builder at all. Just lots of nitrogen to get the height on them. So.
Yeah. Well, you can send a couple shovelfuls of that phosphorus down here.
Yeah.
We have
that's one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do a soil test, and it's like off the chart. They don't even register how much we have it, so much. Yeah.
Well, Deborah, We're running to the end of our time together, but this has been so wonderful. And I think that this garden that you so lovingly attend to is going to have to go on my bucket list. I'm going to have to come up there and take a peek. Sounds like
yes, you definitely
July
should.
June would be a great time.
Both of you. What I was going to mention, too, is if people go to Munsinger Clemens Botanical Society, and search that, Google search that. The Munsinger Clemens Botanical Society has a nice website and lots of information about the gardens and lots of pictures on there. And they're actually my hobby in the winter. Well, in the summer I take the pictures. In the winter I do things with them. And so my hobby is photography. So I've got a lot of my photos of the gardens on the Botanical Society website so people can take a video tour of our gardens, too, and the photos that are on there, and learn a little bit more about our gardens and hopefully plan a visit. We have people visit from all over the world, so we'd love to have the people that are listening to this podcast come visit us.
Well, that sounds like a good plan.
And we want to encourage our listeners to visit the Munsinger Clemens Botanical Society's gardens, and especially the Virginia Clemens Rose Garden that Deborah spoke of this evening. We placed a link to the Munsinger Clemens Botanical Society's website, today's show page. We hope you'll visit there and plan a visit to this garden in the near future. Well, that about does it for this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.